So if you were a large company,
yes,
who, and there are still quite a few of them who don't engage in social media on their website,
yes,
how would you start off?
Well, I think the first thing to do is really to listen. That's the most important thing to start off, which is
monitoring tools.
Yeah, exactly. Monitoring, you know, kind of what conversations are going on out there. You know, where are our customers? Again, it's not so different from the way that you perhaps should have gone about this in the past. In, you know, good communication strategy is always understand your audience. Understand your audience, you know, where are they? What channels are they using? And then, you know, adapt your messaging to kind of to fit that. So it's not changed that much. I guess the main thing that's changed is there's more of it, you know. There's more channels, there's much more information. So yeah, I would start out with listening. There's tons of tools out there. I mean, for a big corporation, you know, there's things like Radiant 6, which is the big kind of enterprise platform for doing all this kind of stuff. But there's tons and tons of other tools. I mean, you can even do stuff for free. I mean, you can, you know, just go and search Twitter, you know, for stuff about, you know, about your brand, or, you know, search Facebook or search through blogs. I mean, there's, you know, just go and have a look and see where people are, understand them and where they are, then go and have a look in those channels, see what they're saying, and that's the first step.
And then?
And then the next thing to do is to engage them, really, to open up the communication and be there.
On a multi-channel approach, or, you know,
yeah,
so
I think so. I mean, I think especially if you're talking about university students and young people, I mean, they one of the things that they like a lot is the idea of kind of openness and transparency. So so I think, yeah, being available. I mean, I would say you really it comes back to who your audience is and which channels they're on. I mean, there's no point being on Twitter and using Twitter if the students you're trying to reach don't go there. And the reality is that at the moment, a lot of students, don't even know what Twitter is. Well, I mean, that's not true, because everybody knows what Twitter is because it's quoted in the newspapers every day, right, and on TV. But you know, all the research I've seen says that students aren't really active at all in Twitter. So that wouldn't be a sensible thing to try and use that channel. But so really, understand your audience, understand the channels you're using, listen to them, and then kind of try and engage them through that channel. And I have to say that I think, you know, if you're talking about university students, then really Facebook has got to be one of the kind of primary platforms.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, gosh, 650 million people and more worldwide, and you know, all university students pretty much using it. So it's a great kind of platform, really.
And do you assume that as Mr. Corporate HR person, that you can then just set up your Facebook page and act as a lightning rod for attracting people who are interested in your industry or company? Or how much do you advocate people going out and being a lot more interactive and active across those that use Facebook, and how?
Yeah, well, I would advocate getting, you know, being very involved and participating, you know, quite fully, because I think there's a great opportunity at the moment to sort of demonstrate your brand that way. Mm-hmm. I think if you look at, I mean, I come from the world of banking. So if you look at the world of banking, not many banks are active in the social space. And if you think particularly about Facebook, of the top 10, there's, you know, maybe a third or half of them actually have a Facebook presence, and actually most of them have the Facebook presence that is kind of counterintuitive to the whole medium, which is they use it as a broadcast channel. So it's
or around their sponsorship. So Barclays with Premier League
So they are they're basically, it's like, oh, we've got all this messaging we've created for our graduate campaign. We'll push it out through our website. We'll push it out through our printed material. We'll push it out on our campus events. And Twitter and Facebook, here's another route for us to push this information out. And you see a lot of them lock their pages down so that students and candidates can't engage, can't reply or can't comment or can't send stuff in. So that's actually a big turn off and massively limits the power of the medium, actually. So yeah. I think that's and, you know, and I understand, having sat on that side, you know, planning these activities, I know full well what the concerns are, which are manyfold. I mean, the biggest challenge is legal folks. They are they consider these platforms, you know, at best, you know, a distraction, an unwelcome distraction for their staff, and at worst, you know, a kind of a fast track to litigation and PR nightmares. So that's the kind of the main thing. But then even beyond that, you know, they if you think about recruitment and recruiting teams, they just don't want to open themselves up to the communication there. If you're a recruiter and you're working in a bank, you know, dealing with tens, sometimes hundreds of thousands of applications, if you think about a season, recruiters are so busy with their day jobs, they just don't see that they have the time to engage with all these conversations, which is you know, understandable. It's understandable, but the reality of it, I think, is quite different, because if you look at, say, Ernst & Young, who were one of the kind of early pioneers of the whole Facebook platform, and they have like 60,000 fans,
60, more than
60,000 fans, Facebook fans. And they have put a team. They've had to put a team in place to deal with that. But if you look at the communication the conversations happening on that page, first of all, it's not a great volume. It's not a huge volume. So, you know, that fear about the amount of conversation is largely unfounded. And then the other thing is that the majority of the comments are actually pretty banal and benign, really. So, in what I've seen, you know, 90% of the comments and posts you get on Facebook are, you know, they're mostly about the application process. Where's my application? I made an application, you know, where am I in the process? Am I going to get called for it? Because there's this whole resume black hole thing, you know, they make these applications and they never hear anything. So yeah, that's mostly what it's about. And then you get, you know, you get of the remaining 10% of people that comment, you maybe get 5%, which is like positive stuff. And that's terrific, because, you know, you can share that with your audience. Your audience sees that. Mm. And that's terrific. It's somebody else saying you're good. So that's terrific. And then the other 5%, which is, you know, the negative stuff, I actually see that as being a big opportunity as well. Because if there's somebody who's got a problem and who posts that on your page, first of all, it's a good thing because you know about it. I mean, otherwise, you know, you don't know about it, and who knows who they're telling, and you just don't know. So at least you know about it. Secondly, there's an opportunity to fix it. And if you fix a problem, you can turn that person into a massive advocate for you. So I think there's a real big opportunity there. And then, of course, you do have, you know, a very, very small minority of people, of crazy people. You know, that's one of the concerns. But you know what? There always are crazy people. That you always will be. You can't change that. And actually, what you see now as well is that in communities, that where you do get people, they tend to kind of self-regulate. Mm. Once they get to a certain size, you know, they tend to self-regulate. So if you do get people posting, you know, very negative stuff, often you get people from that community coming to your defence and saying, wait a minute, I had a good experience, or, you know, have you done this or have you done that? And they get to help each other. So I'm a great believer in doing that. And with the Ernst & Young example, you know, Universum rankings, which are the standard for figuring out, you know, how are we doing on campus, and, you know, where is our brand going. And in the year that Ernst & Young began its Facebook activity, they had a massive jump up the Universum rankings. Right, I mean, I think they got to the top or very close to the top, and their kind of Facebook activity was largely attributed to that, actually.
Do you know how they went about building those 60,000 fans? I mean, was it through doing interesting activities on there, or just by saying, we're here,
give us
a call?
I mean, it's one of those things. You may as well, if you're going to do this, then you may as well, you know, I'm a great believer in integrated communication campaigns. Mm-hmm. You know, when you think about the graduate audience, so you tell people you're there. So put it on your put links to it on your careers website. Put it in your printed materials that you give out. You know, talk about it when you go on campus. You know, let people know it's there. And then, you know, the beauty of course, of the whole social thing is that as people kind of like your page, then their network sees that they like that page. So there's this kind of viral effect that's possible. It's not a guaranteed thing by any stretch, but, you know, you can get a lot of visibility that way.